Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Chav Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Chav Gimel and Beis. We're in the middle of the sugya of Rov Vikarov. So the question is, when you have a majority against a proximity, both of those are halachos that Mida Oraisa you can follow, majority Mida Oraisa you can follow, proximity. So which one wins out? So we had suggested, Rabbi Hanina had suggested, Holchin Achar Rov. So yesterday we brought two rayas. Today we're going to bring a third possible raya and a fourth possible raya. And then the Gemara, and the fourth raya is going to be from a case of Dam HaNimtza BeProzdor. If you find blood, if a woman finds blood in the vaginal canal, where do you assume that that blood comes from? And how that affects the sugya of Rov Karov. Then the Gemara is going to quote a brisa and two stories that may shed light on how we paskin with regard to Rov Vikarov. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to teach us not to plant a tree within 25 amos of a city, and the Gemara is going to discuss why you need a halacha to tell me not to plant within 25 amos of a city. There's already a halacha that you're not allowed to make a sadeh within 1,000 amos of a city. So what is the chiddush of this halacha? The Gemara is going to compare the halacha of planting a tree near a city to planting a tree near a bar, which is different than a city in many ways. The halachos of which came first and what to do, how to handle the fact that there's a tree near it, is different between whether it's near a city and whether it's near a bar. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about how far one has to distance their goren from a city or from their neighbors, and the Gemara is going to have machlokas whether maybe some granos may be different than others, that maybe certain granos may be kept a little bit closer than others can. So let's begin. We're at Toshima, five lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. Toshima, Nimtza bin Shnei Shovchos. If you find a bird in between two nests, Karov Lazeh Shalo, the Karov Lazeh Shalo, whichever one it's closer to, it belongs to that nest. Apparently, we don't count how many birds are in each nest. We don't look at how big each nest is. We just look at proximity. So we ignore Rov, and we follow Karov. Isn't this a raya against Rabbi Chanina, who said that Rov is a more important factor than Karov? So the answer is Gemara, Hachamayaskin and Shishnei and Shavin. No, the assumption that we're working with is that they are both have the same amount of birds in the nest, and since they both have the same amount of birds in the nest, the only determinant left is Karov. But ain't a chinami. If Rov were a possibility, we would look at Rov. So says Gemara, but Rov is a possibility. V'lezel basar ruba di alma. There may not be a Rov in one nest against the other, but there's still a ruba di alma. Rov of the birds in the world are not from the closer nest, so we should follow the ruba di alma. Says Gemara, hachma eskinan b'shvil shal krami. That we're dealing in a shvil shel kramim, it's in a path in a vineyard, and the nature of birds is such that when they don't yet fly, when they just hop around, they'll only hop as far as they could still see their home. But if they're in a shvil shel kramim, they're not going to be able to see from Ruba di Alma if their home is anywhere other than these two nests. And therefore, we would assume that it has to come from one of these two nests. It cannot come from Ruba di Alma. So we maintain the Ukimta that both of these nests are the same size. We just don't look at Ruba di Alma because it's in a Shvil Shel Kramim. The Ramban explains that we're talking about a Shvil Shel Kramim means that it's not that what Shvil Shel Kramim adds is that it couldn't have been dropped from somewhere else, and no one else would have dropped the bird because people don't just walk right through a Shvil Shel Kramim. It's not a place that Rabim Mitsuyim, that you're going to find a lot of people walking through, so you don't have to be concerned that maybe someone dropped it. The only one who could have dropped it is one of these Balei HaShovchim, one of these two Shovchim that we see, because they're the ones that would walk through this this Shvil Shel Kramim, and that's the Raya, and that's the reason, rather, that we go Basar the Karov. Okay, says the Gemara further, Amar Abaye Afanan Nami Tanina. Abaye says, I have a fourth Raya in this issue of whether we follow a Rov or whether we follow a Karov. Dam shenimtza beprozdar. If a woman finds blood in the vaginal canal, so the halacha is that dam min hamakor, blood that comes from the uterus, would render her a nida. But dam that comes from somewhere else in the body, anywhere else in the body, a cut in her finger or a scrape in the vaginal canal, anywhere else in the body, would not make her a nida. It's simply not called dam nida. But what if you find the blood in the vaginal canal? Where do you assume it came from? Do you assume that it came from the uterus, or do you assume it came from elsewhere? So sveiko tamim. Tami, Tame, when you don't know where it came from, you assume Tame, Shecheskaso, Minamakar. The Chazaka is that it came from the uterus. You have the right to assume that she is absolutely Tame. V'afalgav dik Aliyah demikrava, even though there is the Aliyah, which is closer than the Makar, which is closer than the uterus. So apparently, we're following the Rove, even though there is a Karov that would suggest that she is not Tameya. What exactly the Aliyah is a major discussion. Not abundantly clear what the Aliyah is, because it doesn't seem anatomically correct to describe this Aliyah, whatever it might be, as being an Aliyah. Aliyah means something that's on top, and B, also being Karov. So there isn't really anything in the body that seems to match that criteria, but let's assume let's assume the anatomy that the Gemara is assuming, and therefore we're trying to prove the halacha. So the halacha is that apparently we follow the rov, even though there is a karov. So Amalei Rava says, no, that's not a proof at all. Rovu matzui kamritz, rovu matzui leka lemandiyamar, it's not only a rov that comes from the uterus, it's matzui, it's constantly flowing from the uterus. Blood is always flowing, meaning rov is, there's more blood in the uterus than there is in the aliyah. Okay, good, so there's more there. But matzui means, and the natural functioning of the body is that blood flows from the uterus through the vaginal canal. So since that's where blood comes from all the time, so it's matzui, it's much stronger than a regular rov. Detani Rabbi Chiya, dama nimtza b'prozdar. Rabbi Chiya teaches that if you find blood in the prozdar, in the vaginal canal, chayav nalav al bias mikdash v'sorf nalav as a truma. You're chayav if the woman goes into the beis hamikdash with that level of tuma, she's going to have to bring a carb. Bringing a carbon means we are absolutely certain that she has violated an isser, otherwise it would be chashash chul nazara. So if she's bringing a carbon, that means that it's a tuma vada'is. And not only that, sofron lov is a truma. If she touches truma, we're going to burn that truma. Normally burning truma, if it's truma tahora, or there's even a chance that it's truma tahora, it's an isser daraisa to be ma'abe truma, to burn the truma. But if it's truma tameya, and we're certain that it's truma tameya, then it becomes a mitzvah to burn the truma tameya. So we are absolutely certain that it's that she's Tameya. And Rava said, so I learned three halachos from Rabbi Chiya. First of all, I see that Rava Karav Halacha Charov, because apparently we're assuming that this blood came from the Makar. Shemamina Rubidor Raisa. I also see that Rov is a din Dor Raisa. Ushmamina Isalid Rabbi Zeira. And I also see that we paskin like Rabbi Zeira. Dama Rabbi Zeira, Afopli Shadlasos Medina Nuulos. Rabbi Zeira holds that even though the gates of the city are locked, the halacha of Teisha Chanuyos that sell Basar Shchuta and one that sells Basar Nevela is still going to hold true. The halacha is, if you find a piece of meat and there are 10 local stores and 9 of them sell kosher meat and one of them sells non-kosher meat, you follow that rove. Now, is that because there's also a majority of people that come from elsewhere that may be bringing kosher meat, so you have a double rove? No, he says, even though Dlasos Medina Neulos, even though there's only one rove, you don't need a double rove. You only need a single rove. The isha dechidlasas medina nulostamia, because the anatomy of a woman is ki'ilu that the gates of the city are locked, meaning the blood that's found inside her body is not coming from elsewhere. You can't say, oh, well, most of the blood in the world is not from this woman's uterus. Well, that's true, but most of the blood in the world is not getting into this woman's vaginal canal. It's thusas medina nu'ulos. There's no way for it to get into her body. And yet we're still following that single rove. So the 3 minutes that we just spent reading this Gemara, you could spend like 3 years analyzing this Gemara. Like every line is significant lamdas. You know, the whole Sefer Shev Shmaitza is written basically on these sugyas. So just a couple of quick points. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a woman has a makah ba'osa makom, if a woman has a wound in her uterus where there's a way that there's a way that we could be mitar her even if she sees dam, because you could say that dam comes from the makah. The Shulchan Aruch writes here desim kofpe zayin sif hey. So the Achronim say, what do you mean? It's a suffix if that dam dam comes from the makkah, comes from a wound, or it comes from normal uterine bleeding. So shouldn't we follow the rove and say that that dam is bamin amokar and it does not come from the makkah? So the mil tzedakah is miyashev, that since there's also the dmei ha'aliyah, meaning not all the blood that she finds in the prozor is going to be from the makkah, sometimes it will be from the aliyah, so when you are mitzarev both the dam that comes from the makkah in the makkah, plus the fact that there's dam that could come from the aliyah, so that becomes the new rov. The two miyutim combine to become the new rov, which is highly questionable, because does that actually make a rov? Meaning, you have a 1% chance and a 1% chance, so you put them together and now you have a rov? No, now you have 2%, right? So it's not so clear that that should... that should qualify as a rov. Even the assumption that a mako b'makar is not considered a dam that would make her tameh is questionable. That's a major machlokas rishonim. Dam min ha-makar makes a woman tameh. What if it's dam min ha-maka b'makar? This is a very practical shayla. It comes up a lot of times where a woman has some sort of trauma to the uterus and that's why she's bleeding. Not because it's just the normal blood that comes from the uterus. So that's also a So there are a lot of assumptions over there. Also, this idea of rov matzoi. So Rava said, "Oh, everyone agrees by rov matzoi that when it comes to rov matzoi, everyone's going to agree that you would then follow the rov, even if normally you would follow karov." Oh, by the way, I should have read another line and a half over here. Rava said one of the things that we see from the case of the dam that's found in the prozder that she's vadei tameh is that you see rov karov, you follow the rov. So ask the Gemara, wait, Rava is the one that said that you can't bring a raya at all from a woman's finding dam in the prozdar. Because that's not just rov versus karov, that's rov umatsui. So it says Gemara, hadbe rav mehi. Rava changed his mind from that. He no longer holds that, what does he no longer hold? Machlokes Rishonim. Either he no longer holds that that's called rov umatsui, or he no longer holds that rov matzui makes a difference. That rov matzui is just a fancier way of saying rov, but it's no stronger than a regular rov. But anyway, going back to Rava's initial statement of rov umatzui, the Rava initially said that even if normally rov is not enough to beat a karov, but if it's both rov and matzui, then you would follow the rov. Now, why would matzoi be a factor? Why is the fact that the rov is helped by a matzoi, why does it make it better? So the simple explanation is that it's a stronger rov, meaning a normal rov is that there's more there than there is here. So it probably came from where there's more than from where there is less. But matzoi means that not only is there more, but it constantly flows. So that makes it a much stronger rov. That's the pashut reading, but what the mechanics of that are, why that helps a rov, meaning what? So that makes it does that turn it from like a 55% rov to a 95% rov? Like what exactly does that do to the rov? So the Shef Shmaitza and Shmaita Dalid explains that rov and matzoi are actually the way it works is there are two different dinim of rov. There's what we call the ruba de isa kaman and ruba de lesa kaman. Ruba de isa kaman is the classic, Teisha Chanuyos. You have 9 stores selling one type of meat, 1 store selling the other type of meat. That's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. You can actually count it. A Ruba de Lesa Kaman is what we often refer to as Chazaka. That there's a general assumption that this is the way the world works. Not that we conducted a poll, not that we have in front of us to count, but it's just an assumption. That's the way the world works. So says the Shef Shmaitza, Dama Cheder is Ruba de Isa Kaman. That when you want to know what's the Rova the Dam, Rova the Dam is from the Makar. But when it comes to so that's why we say that it came from the makar. But when the fact that it's matzoi is a ruba de lesa kaman. That's just the way things work. Meaning in terms of where is most of the blood? Okay, that's isa kaman. That's right here in front of us. Most of the blood is in the makar. In terms of what normally happens, how does it normally flow? Well, that's not ruba de isa kaman. That's just the way things normally work. That is a ruba de lesa Kaman. So that's why this is a stronger rov. It's a stronger rov because it's two different types of rov, the Ruba di Isa Kaman and the Ruba di de Lesa Kaman. So that's one Ha'ara. Another point over here is that one of the halachos that Rava was all excited to derive from this halach of Pruzder, he says, Shema Mina Thas, we learn three things, and one of them is, Shema Mina Ruba Daraisa. We see that on a Daraisa level, you have this notion called Rov. So all the Rishonim are bothered. Rava, you didn't know that on Daraisa level, we have a notion called Rav, it's a Pasuk. Achre Rabim Lahatos. And that's where the Gemara Masechus Chulin, Dafir Aleph, derives that Holchem Achar Rav. Obviously, it's Holchem Achar Rav. It says it Beferish. In fact, the Gemara itself it sort of asks this in the Chulin when it wants to figure out what the Makar is that we follow the Rav. The Gemara says, Makar, it's a Pasuk. I mean, we're trying to find a source that we follow the Rav. So what's Rav getting all excited? A source that look, we see from Rabbi Chia that we follow the Rav. You see from a Pasuk that you follow Rav. So Tosos suggests, the Tosos in the Dibur Maskil Shvamina in the Haggah suggests that when we are proving that Rav is Minat Torah, it's not talking about a Raya that a Ruba Di Isa Kaman is Minat Torah, like a Rav Dayanim, where that's the case in the Torah, that if you have 23 judges and 15 of them vote one way and 8 of them vote the other way, so you follow the majority opinion. You can count all the judges and you can count what the Rav is. But the Chiddush over here is that a Ruba Di Lesa Kaman, when the Stadim of the Rav are not really right in front of us. So that's the Pasuk doesn't tell us about. That's why Rava needs to show from Rabbi Chia that even by a rov that's not in front of us, you would follow such a rov. You then have to explain why this rov of the Demei HaIsha, whether it comes min HaMakor or min HaAliyah, is not called the Ruba Di Isa Kaman. I mean, we just said from the Shav Shmaitza that no, Adrabba, that is called the Ruba Di Isa Kaman. But anyway, that's the sheet of Tosas. The Rimi Gash, however, suggests that Rav is trying to prove that on this Chiddush of rov, that Mitzad Echad there's a rov. Mitzad Sheni, there's a Karov. Meaning, yes, the Torah tells us that you follow Rov. That's when there's no competing principle. What Rav is trying to say is, what we see from Rav Chia, we see from this din of the Prozdar, of the Dam that you find in the Prozdar, is that you follow Rov even when there's a competing principle, even when there is a Karov that's working against it. Now, one last Ha'ar over here, we referred to this idea of sometimes requiring two roves. Sometimes you need a double rove. And that Rav is saying, oh look, a chiddush over here, that even though a woman is kedlasos medina ne'ulos, it's as if there's only one rove because the gates of the city are locked, that we follow even one rove. Where would that idea come from, that you would need a second rove? So this comes from the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos and Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah over there in Yud Aleph Amud Beis tells us a story that there was a tinokas that was yarda lemalos mayim in a mayim. A girl went and Nebuch, she went to just go get some water from the local spring, from the local fresh springs, and she was Netensa. Someone raped her. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if Rov, Anche Yair, are Masi and Lakuna, she's Becheskas Ksheri Lakuna. If most of the people that could have slept with her are people that would be Masi and Lakuna, are people that would not Pasul or Lakuna, you could assume that it was with a Jew, that it was not with a non-Jew, so then she is kosher l'kuhuna. So the Gemara over there says that this Mishnah is assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that it's not enough to have only a single rov to be makshir. And the reason we are makshir the tinokos is because there's rov anshe yir masin l'kuhuna, plus there was another group of people around that area that were ruban ksherim, that were traveling through that area, and it's only with the tziruf of both roves that we were willing to be machshir the isha. And the Gemara explains, we don't want to rely on the rove of the shayara alone, of the group, the traveling group, because we're afraid that you might come to be somich on the rove ha'ir alone. And by that, since the woman went to the boel, that you would not be allowed to rely on the rove ha'ir, because that would be called kavua. And called kavua, kemechzal mechzadami. That doesn't have a din of a rove, that has a din of 50-50. And therefore, we're hesitant to rely on one rove, because if you rely on the rove Shayara, which is Parush and really is a viable rove, you might come to rely on the rove of the ear, which is Kavua, and is therefore not a viable rove, and that's why you need two roves. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, if the whole reason that you need two roves is because of Chashash, that you might come to rely on the rove of the ear, why does Rabbi Zeira need to prove over here that you don't need two roves by the Chanuyos in order to be Machshir the Basar? By Chanuyos, there's no reason for any such Gezeira. There is no Kavua, meaning neither of the roves by the Basar. You found meat in the street. So the local rove of the stores is that nine of these stores are selling kosher meat. That's a regular parish rove. That's not a kavua. And rove of people that are coming from outside bring kosher meat through. That's also a regular, good, strong rove. Neither of these roves is going to be a kavua. So what's the chashash? Why would I even have a hava amina that you need a double rove in this case? That's Tosas Kash. And Tosas, what you have to say is that maybe the concern is you'll come to rely on even going into one of the stores and buying a piece of meat when you don't know which store you went into. And that's a kavua. And that is really going to be a din of mechza al mechza. But these halachas are very nogeya, unfortunately, halach lemaisa, meaning nebuch. There are girls that we never catch who assaulted them, and they don't know if they're able to be masin lakuna. These shailas come up all the time. So they have to figure out, do you have two robes? Do you need two robes? What do you, is a double robe just a super statistic? What if they know in Eretz Yisrael, in certain places where these things happen, they know that the police have records that most of the rapists are Arabs and are not Jews. Is that enough, or do you assume that that's statistically, or do you have to say no? You need an actual two robes. You need robe of people of that place, robe of the people that travel through that place. How do we deal with these halachos? This is very much Nogel Lemaisa, the major poskim deal with. Itmar, Viter in the Gemara. Chavish Shatzafa Benar. You have a barrel that's floating on the river. It's a barrel of wine. Now, wine is kosher other than the fact that there's a chashash of Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenam. So the ingredients are kosher. It's wine. The question is it Stam Yenam or Yayin Nesach, which would be problematic. Amar Rav, Nimtzeis Keneged Ir Sherubi Yisrael, Mutter. If you find it floating on the river near a Jewish town, then it's Mutter. Keneged Ir Sherubi Nachrim, Asira. But you find it near a city that is mostly non-Jewish, then it's going to be asur. Shmuel Amar Afilu Nimtzeis Keneged Ir Sherubi Yisrael Asira. Even if you find it near a city that is mostly Yisrael, it's still going to be asur. Amar Mehai Dikra Asai, because it could be that it came from this place. Name of a place that's along the river that's where there aren't really any Jews around, where it's mostly a non-Jewish town. So what are they arguing about? Lema b'Rabbi Chanina k'miflugi. They must be arguing about this din of Rov v'Karov, meaning this Haidikra, this place where there are non-Jews, is not the closest place, but apparently it's the largest place. So do we assume that the wine came from there because that's the Rov, or do you assume the wine came from the local Jewish town because that's the Karov? So Demar Isle Rabbi Chanina, that the one that says that you go basa, Shmuel, who said that you go basa the Rov, holds like Rabbi Chanina. Umar Lasle Rabbi Chanina, and Rav, who says that you go basa the Karov, disagrees with Rabbi Chanina. Says Gemara, lo, that's not at all what's going on. Dukuli Alma Islu Rabbi Chanina. Really, everybody accepts Rabbi Chanina. Vacha Baakamilki, Demar Savar Demis, Demehai Dikra Asai, Akuli of Shuri Havumat Bila. That the Shita that holds it must have come from the Karov is not because Karov beats Rov. No, Rov is always the determinant. The thing is that it's unlikely that this barrel would have survived flowing down the river from from that city that's mostly Goyim, that large city of Goyim, because there are all sorts of impediments in the river. There are all sorts of patches of ice and rocks and things that would have broken the barrel. So the very fact that the barrel is intact is muchach that this barrel could not have traveled very far. So that's why we follow the Karov. Umar Savar, in the other opinion that does not follow the Karov, says Harif Dinar Nakat Vasai. The flow of a river can be a pretty strong force, and therefore it can keep it down. The flow itself can keep the barrel toward the middle of the river, where it's able to avoid any rocks that are jutting out, and therefore you do have to be concerned that maybe this barrel came from a more distant location. So that's the case of the barrel. Now, the l'chora, there is a more fundamental question when you find the barrel. Meaning, you find this barrel in the river. Your first question should not be about kosher versus not kosher. Your first question should be hashavas aveda. Someone lost this, belonged to someone, right? Someone lost this barrel. So apparently, the whole issue is about iser v'heter, and where you have this machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and whether you can drink it or not. But why are you allowed to take it in the first place? So if it comes from, especially if you're going to paskin like Rav, that it comes from Ir Sheruba Yisrael, so then, okay, now you've just determined that this belongs to a Jew. Now you have a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So the Adrama writes that since you find it in a river, there's no chiv hashava even if it's a Jewish owner, because an aveda sheshatva nahar is mutaris lamotza, is mutar for the person who finds it even before yeyush bailim. The Gemara in Bab Metzia and Chadav Chav Beis that if it's found in the river even before yeyush bailim, it's like an assumed yeyush. Shulchan Aruch says that if Yisrael comes and gives a simin, then the yayin is going to be mutar and you still get to keep it because it's rovakum. So you assume this yayin. Meaning, what happens if he comes and he gives a simon? So you say, oh, thank you very much. Now I know it belonged to you, so now I know it's kosher. I still get to keep it because there was a yeyush bailim, so the finder is still allowed to keep the item. It's tricky, the laws of hashavas aveda. It's not so much. Someone just called me last night, a rav from California called me that a woman had lost a piece of jewelry a year and a half ago, and she went into a store recently and she saw her piece of jewelry. It was made up specially for her. She had simanim of hakim. She saw her piece of jewelry and she asked the store, and the store, as he said, someone came in about a year and a half ago and sold me this piece of jewelry. And she believes him that someone probably found it and sold it to him. So can she say, I've seen manum of hakim, it's mine? She was miyayish on it. So he could say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So that's it's a very tricky thing. There is a barrel of wine or a jug of wine that was found in the middle of an orchard of Orla. So Orla fruits in the first 3 years, are all Asrbana. Sharya Ravina. And Ravina said it was Mutter. Ravina was Matirid. Lema Mishum de Savala de Rabbi Chanina. Oh, it must be that he was Matirid because he holds like Rabbi Chanina, that even though the Karov is all Arla, but the Rove is not Arla, the Rove of the rest of the world is not Arla, so it must be that's why he permitted it. He says, well, no, Shiny Hasam di Mignav Mina Atsnubi Gave Lomatsni. If someone was stealing this barrel of wine from that vineyard, it would be a horrible place to hide it. You don't steal a barrel of wine and then hide it in the place that you stole it from. So it's muchach that it came from elsewhere. That's only if it's wine. But if it's actually grapes people do tend to hide even in the vineyard from which they stole it. Hanuziki de chamra, there were jugs of wine, dishtakach be kufai, that was found be kufai, Rashi says, tmunim bein gufanim shabakarim vishal Yisrael, hidden amongst the vines in the vineyard, and it belonged to a Jew. Sharinu Rava, and Rava allowed that wine. Meaning he said, you could assume that it came from here. Lema lo savalo lid Rabbi Chanina. Apparently he rejects Rabbi Chanina, meaning the majority of wine from the world is non-Jewish wine. But because this is found in a Jewish vineyard, so he's assuming that it comes from the Karov against Rabbi Chanina. So says Mar, no, Shaini Hasam, Deruba Deshvuchai, Yisrael Ninu. No, over there it's different because the case must have been that most of the people who are Shov Cheyayin, who have the job of packaging wine, that pour the wine from barrels into smaller bottles to sell to Ovrei Drachim, are Jews. And the Vahani, and therefore you have a right to assume that it came from Jews. Vahani mili beravervi aval zutri emar meyavri drachim nafel. But even that is only if it's larger barrels of wine. But if it's a smaller barrel, a smaller jug of wine, so people travel with smaller jugs of wine, so that really could have come from anywhere. It didn't necessarily have to come from the local population. Say nochinami, in the local population, the Jews are the ones who are busy with the wine, but you don't know that this came from locally if it's a smaller barrel, a smaller jug of wine. Vika ravervi ba'adayu. If there are small bottles together with large bottles, it must have come from locally. Why were there small bottles there? Sometimes just to even out the weight of the burden that you put on the back of the animal, they'll put small bottles together. together with the large bottles. They'll just use them as like a counterweight. But the very fact that there are large bottles there is muchach, that it must be from local, that it probably did not come from very far away. What exactly the Gemara was asking when it says that Rava was matirit, oh, isn't Rava against Rabbi Chanina? So Rashi says that lema lo sabla Rabbi Chanina lelechach harov elachar karov v'kan Yisrael mitzuyim yosem minachum lozim basru b'diyam lamin istam, that we're just saying, oh, so this is a raya that Rava disagrees with Rabbi Chanina, that we're just trying to prove, do we pass like Rabbi Chanina, do we not? So apparently Rava doesn't, but Tosfos points out it's much stronger than that, because the Tosfos points out Pirush v'Rava islei le'eld Rabbi Chanina. It's a stira in Rava, because Rava previously held like Rabbi Chanina that Rava karov halchanachar rov. So now Rava's going to say against Rabbi Chanina. So it's not just a question in determining. Do we paskin like Rabbi Chanina? It's a question on Rava himself. Either way, the question was answered. We said that most of the people that deal with the wine are Yisraelim. Okay, new Mishnah. Marchikin asi'ilan min ha'ir esrim v'chamesh amma. One is supposed to distance his tree from the city by 25 amos. U'b'charav u'v'shikma chamishim amma. If you have a charav tree or a shikma tree more than 25 amos, it's got to be 50 amos away from the city. The Gemara is going to explain that this is all about the noy ha'ir, about keeping the city beautiful, and the city doesn't look so beautiful if there are trees right near the border. Abishol omer kol ilan srak chamishim amma. Any non-fruit bearing tree is a gnaiv to the city, and therefore you got to be 50 amos away from the city, according to Abishol. Imi'ir kadma. So what happens if you have a tree that's within this distance to the city? So if the city was there before the tree, we cut down the tree and we don't reimburse the Bala Ilan. He shouldn't have planted a tree, Be'isser, near the city. Vim Ilan Kadam, but if the tree was there first, Kotzeitz Venosin Damim. Yeah, we do still make him cut down the tree because the whole city is, the whole look of the city is being ruined by it, but we do reimburse him for that. Savek Zek Kadam, Savek Zek Kadam. If we don't know which one came first, Kotzeitz, he still cut down the tree, but Venosin Damim. We're not going to have to pay him the money because it could be that he planted a Be'isser. We don't know. We don't know which one came first. So my time, what's the basis of this whole halacha that you need to distance from the city 25 amos? What's wrong with having trees? Amr ula mishum noy ha'ir. The reason is to maintain the beauty of the city. The Rishonim explained that noy ha'ir is only a din in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, even in Jewish towns in Chutz La'aretz, because we're not worried about noy Chutz La'aretz. And that's what the Torah paskins, that this is a din, even though it's not, you wouldn't call it like mitzvah satlius ba'aretz, but this is a concern that only exists in Eretz Yisrael, that there are only halachos to maintain the beauty in Eretz Yisrael. Meiri writes, nevertheless, we're knowing this din in Mekomos HaSmuchim Eretz Yisrael, that were nichbash al yidei Yisrael as well. The Yad Rama says that even in Chutz La'aretz. So different shitos in Rishonim. Some of the Acharim say from the Rambam in Hilchos Shcheinim, the Rambam doesn't say that this is only in Eretz Yisrael. Sounds like the Rambam holds it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. Now the Gemara's next question though is the typical Deinos and Sada Migrash Lo Migrash Sada. Shouldn't it be obvious that you can't plant a tree within 25 amos of a city? There's a halacha that the first 1,000 amos outside of the city is supposed to be left empty. You're not even allowed to plant fields in the first 1,000 amos. The next 1,000 amos, you plant fields, but you're not allowed to switch. You can't make the first 1,000 amos fields, and you can't make the next 1,000 amos empty area, because you want Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You want Eretz Yisrael to be productive, so you can't just expand emptiness. So you have X amount of empty space, 1,000 amos, and that's it. But you're not allowed to plant in those 1,000 amos. So for 1,000 amos, you shouldn't be allowed to plant trees, right? You need halacha 25 amos. Now, the very fact that the Gemara asks that kasha sounds like it's a din in Eretz Yisrael. Because that din of Sada Migrash Migrash Sada is only a din in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a din in Chutz La'aretz. So anyway, so the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha L'Rab Lazar, Dam Rosen Sada Migrash Migrash Sada, Hachem Yishum Na'ir, Lo Avdinan. No, we're assuming like the Sheet of Rab Lazar, that typically you are allowed to plant within 1,000 amos of a city if you want to. So we're saying, yeah, but a tree not within 25 amos. And even the Rabbanan who say that you're not allowed to plant within 1,000 amos of the city, that's when you're planting zra'im. But to plant trees, normally you would be allowed to do that within 1,000 amos of a city, but that's why our Mishnah comes along and says, yeah, but not within 25 amos of the city. How do I know that there's a difference between planting zra'im and planting ilanos? Titania, because we have a brisa talks about the halachos of carrying on Shabbos. Karpe fios in base asayim shukaf ladira. If you have a very large area that's surrounded by mechitzos, but that's going to be a living area for you. You just happen to own a lot of property, and you surrounded the property with walls. Nizru urubo. Once you plant the majority of that property, hareu kigina va'asr. You have now declared that is no longer a living area, and it therefore becomes asr to carry in there because it's no longer considered a living area. Nita rubo, but if you plant trees there, hareu kechatzer umutter. That's still a living area. That's like a chatzer, and it's therefore mutter. So what do you see? That having trees is not like an ugly thing for a dwelling place, and therefore by a city as well. Having trees nearby is not such a terrible thing. But having zra'im within 1,000 amos of the city, that's an entirely different story. Then we said, if the city came first, cut down the tree. Don't pay the owner of the tree. Why is it, you know, there's also halach, you're not allowed to have a tree near a bar. But by bar, diktani, it says, kotzeitz v'nosein damim, that you do reimburse the bali ilan. Why over here, if the guy planted the tree, be'isr, we don't give him the money? So Gemara says, Amar Avkan, kidrut be'eshut v'lo chamimi v'lo karira. That typically speaking, if there are multiple people that have to take care of something, it will never get taken care of. See, when there's a bar, you're dealing with one guy, a bal habar, the guy who owns the bar. So he'll take care of it. He'll pay the owner of the tree back and he'll cut down the tree. But if there's going to have to be payment collected to give back money to the owner of the tree by an ear, by a city, so the city council who's in charge, it's never going to happen if they're going to have to pay for it as well. And therefore, the city is going to remain ugly, and that's bad because we can't allow a city of Eretz Yisrael to remain unseemly. Umay kushya, so what's the problem? Dilma shani ezeket rab mezeket yachid. Why do we even ask the kasha? Isn't it obvious that when you're dealing with a yachid, we're going to treat it differently than when what you did by planting a tree was damaging to the rabbim? When what you did was damaging to the rabbim, you're not going to get reimbursed. When what you did was only damaging to a yachid, maybe you'll get reimbursed. Eliyit Rav Kana Sefet. So Rav Kana's statement wasn't really needed to explain that halacha of why there's reimbursement by the tree and by the bar and not by the tree, but rather it's about the following halacha. Ima ilan kadam kotzeitz v'nosein damim v'leimelu havili bereisha dami v'hadar ekutz. We said that if the tree was there first, you cut down the tree and you do reimburse the bala ilan. But why do you cut down first and then reimburse him? Can't he say, give me my money before you cut down my tree? So that's where Amar Rav Kana, kidrut beishut v'lo chamim v'lo karira. If they have to give the money first, they're never going to collect the money. No one's going to be motivated to take care of it. But if they get to cut down the tree first, they'll be motivated to take care of it. And then, once they took care of it, they'll realize that they have to raise the money in order to pay the guy. If you're not sure which guy came first, whether it was the tree or the city, so you cut it down, but you don't pay him. Well, if you're not sure whether a tree or a bar came first, you don't even cut down the tree at all. So says Mar Hasam, yeah, because by the bar, if the tree came first, it doesn't need to get cut down. So when you're not sure if it came first, you can't force him to cut it down. But over here, I don't care if the tree came first. If it's within 25 amos of a city in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to have to be cut down anyway. That's not the issue. The issue is just whether we're going to reimburse him. So when you have a suffix, whatever the side of the suffix is correct and is true, you're going to have to cut it down. V'imishum dami, and as far as the money, I'm going to lay I see raya v'shakel, then we'll say amotzi mechaver lafaraya on the money. Next mishum, archikin is gorin kavua mini ir chamishum ami. You got to keep your silo away from the city by 50 amos. Lo yasan gorin kavua b'tok shalom ken yesh chamishum ami l'kol ruach. You also need to keep it away from your neighbors by 50 amos. Umarchik minit yosef shalchavero miniro b'kadeish lo yazik. And you also have to keep it away from your neighbor's plants and from his plowed field so that it doesn't damage. So that it doesn't damage sounds like, in your assessment, you just have to make sure it's far enough that it doesn't damage, but it's not necessarily 50 amos. So Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Why does the Reisha give a number? And in the Seifa, we just say, yeah, whatever you think. Amar Abai, Seifa Son LeGoran She'ino Kavua. The Seifa is talking about a different type of Goran, which is not as damaging. It's a Goran She'ino Kavua. Hechi Dami Goran She'ino Kavua. What is a Goran She'ino Kavua? Amar Abai, Yisrael Bechanin, Kol She'ino Zora Barachas. It doesn't use the heavy equipment to do the threshing. Ravashi Amar Matam Kam. Ravashi says, no, we're misunderstanding the Mishnah. In the last line of the Mishnah, we're not saying to leave it up to your own assessment. It's my taima marchikim goren kavua minir chamisha mama kidei shlo yazik. It's just giving the logic of why it has to be 50 amos away so that you don't damage. Meisvei marchikim goren kavua minir chamisha mama ukshem shemarchikim minir chamisha mama kach marchikim midluv mikshuv mitziosav uminiru shal chaveru chamisha mama kidei shlo yazik. That it says beferish in the brisa, you keep it 50 amos away so that it doesn't damage. Bishlam the Ravashi nicha. So according to Ravashi, that's great. It's explaining the reason, but it's always 50 amos. El abaye kasha, but according to Abaye, this doesn't fit, because according to Abaye, it's not always 50 amos. So kasha, it's taka difficult. Bishlam imukshov midlov da azilavka vasi belibe umatzvile eliminiru amai. I understand why you want to keep your goren away from your friend's melons and his gourds or whatever, but why do you have to keep it away from his plowed field? What's it going to do to a plowed field if some of the chaff of the wheat happens to hit the field? It may manure, it may do too much to the field where it's going to ultimately dry up the field and it's going to be bad for that which is going to grow in the field afterwards. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.